1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandment we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. This passage of Scripture is dealing with the separation of those at Thessalonica from the things of the world. When we think about the fact that God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness, this has to do with separation from that which is unclean. And in verse 3, it says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." Even your separation. The word sanctification means separation, just like the word holy means to be separate. And this morning I want to talk about spiritual fornication. Last Sunday we talked about the flesh, the sins of the flesh, that will disqualify us from having an inheritance in the coming kingdom. Many today believe that if you are involved in the sins of the flesh, you lose your salvation. You don't lose your salvation, but you lose rewards. You lose honor and glory in the coming kingdom. You're denied those privileges of ruling and reigning with Christ. Instead of being a sovereign or a king or a lord, you will be put in positions of servitude, and that's really not what we are interested in when we get home. We're interested in ruling and reigning with Christ. If you're not interested in that, you need to become interested in doing that and doing what it takes to rule and reign with Christ. Because if you qualify to rule and reign with Christ, let me tell you, you have pleased the Father. You have pleased God. And that's what we're here to encourage each of us to do, is to be found pleasing in His sight. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 20, at a council that they had in Jerusalem concerning the Gentiles and their behavior, it says that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from strangled and blood. Now, to eat blood was to cause you to become unclean and to be cut off. And I thought it was interesting here, in looking at the original Greek text, there is a definite article V before fornication. It says, abstain from the fornication. I thought that was interesting in the fact that there is a definite fornication to abstain from. And the word things really should be in italics, because the word things is not in the Greek text. And the word strangled is singular. So it says, abstain from the strangled and abstain from the blood. Now we know that the children of Israel were not allowed to eat blood. That commandment did not start in Leviticus. That commandment started in Genesis 9. That was a commandment given to Noah and his family not to eat blood. The things that happened to the Old Testament saints, or to those in the Old Testament, were recorded for us for a purpose. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse 11 it says, "Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the age," or the word says world, but it's really the word, the Greek word that means age. The age that's coming. So the things that happened to the Old Testament or in the Old Testament were written to teach us truth that will help us walk the walk that will be pleasing to the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 31 in verse 16 it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them." The Lord was just simply telling Moses, you've led these people all this way for 40 years, and they're going to forsake me when they get in the land. And what does it mean to forsake the Lord? What term did he use? He used the term of going whoring after other gods. To become involved from a spiritual fornication point of view. They probably literally did that too. But to forsake the Lord and to break the covenant is to commit spiritual fornication. That's the point. Now this practice of turning from the Lord and seeking other gods and idols actually was being embraced in the churches, particularly in the churches of Revelation 2 and 3. In Revelation 2:14 it says, "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam." Who is Balaam? Balaam was hired by the Moabites to curse the nation of Israel. And of course Balaam couldn't do that because God wouldn't let him do it. And he says, "Who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block?" And that stumbling block that Balaam taught Balak to use was, don't separate yourself from the children of Israel. No separation. No sanctification. Join yourselves with them. That's what Balaam taught Balak to do. And that's exactly what he did. And it says here, "Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to what? And to commit fornication." Association of this doctrine of Balaam of not being set apart or sanctified. Now, in Numbers chapter 31 in verse 16 it says, "Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, and there was a plague among the nation or the congregation of the Lord." Balaam couldn't curse Israel, but he could cause them to sin in a way that would cause a curse upon them. In fact, I skipped over verse 8 in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 where it says, "Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Why did that happen? It was because of the Moabites and the doctrine of Balaam, where Balaam taught Balak to cast a stumbling block to the nation of Israel. And how did he do this? In Numbers chapter 23, in verse 8 and 9, it says, "How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied or abhorred? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations." I think Balaam receive some insight into the fact that God said that the children of Israel were to dwell how? Alone. Separated. They were not to be reckoned among the nations. The nation of Israel was to be separated. I think Balaam picked up on this. And he taught Balak to reverse that. Don't let them be alone. Go down there and invite them over to your barbecue. And then they will be obligated to invite you over to their barbecue. And of course we know that a bad apple will change all the good apples to bad apples. There's never been a time when a good apple has changed the barrel to good ones. And that's the way it is. You get involved in the things of the world, you get involved with people who have no values, spiritual values, you're going to become like them. They're not going to become like you unless it's on a one-on-one basis. If you're there to have fellowship rather than there to answer questions that they might have about spiritual things. So I think that he keyed in on the fact that the nation of Israel was to dwell alone and not to be reckoned among the nations. In Numbers 23 and verse 21 it says, "And he has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them." Israel was clean, and yet Balaam taught Balak how to make them unclean. The results of the doctrine of Balaam is seen in Numbers 25 and in verse 1. "And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their God, and the people did eat, and bow down to their God, and Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them." This is where we were reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where the Lord killed 23,000 of the nation of Israel for becoming involved with the Moabites. Now, the Moabites were descendants of Lot. And they had a double portion, or Lot had a double portion inheritance west of the Jordan River. And God gave them that inheritance, and in Deuteronomy chapter 2, it says that don't bother the inheritance of Moab or Ammon, because I've given that to them. I think because the fact that God had blessed Moab and Ammon, that let the guard down of the nation of Israel of becoming involved with them. Let me tell you, it's the spiritual brother or sister that can cause us to be led astray, particularly if they hold the doctrine of Balaam. The doctrine of Balaam is, in simple terms, that since you're in the family of God, you don't have to worry about how you live. That's really the doctrine of Balaam. You can't lose your salvation. In fact, they even go so far as to say you cannot lose your rewards. But that's the doctrine of Balaam. You can live like you want to because you're a child of God. You can live like you want to because God has His hand on you. Who was the nation of Israel? They were God's chosen people. So, the doctrine of Balaam caused people to stumble. In Deuteronomy 23, verses 4 and through 6, it says, "They hired against thee Balaam, the son of Beor of Pethor of Mesopotamia, to curse thee. Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loved thee. Thou shalt not seek their peace nor their prosperity all thy days forever." You're not to seek their peace. You're not to become involved with those in the world. The people of Moab were involved in idol worshiping. Idol worshiping is not necessarily looking at a little image. There are other sins that we can become involved in that are idolatry. Covetousness is idolatry. Covetousness. And the Moabites were interested in prosperity. Covetousness. So, whatever we place before our God can become an idol. May not be necessarily sinful, But when it takes first place, then it becomes an idol. And covetousness is one of them. God delighteth in Israel, but in Hosea chapter 9 and verse 10 we find Baal Peor again. I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at her first time. But they went to Baal Peor and separated themselves unto that shame, and their abominations were according as they loved. This is talking about the nation of Israel. The Lord is saying, look, when I found you, you were like first ripe grapes. Delicious. I delighted in you. You were just like the first fruits of a fig tree. Tender, juicy figs. And yet you turned into shame. And you turned into an abomination to me, when I had anticipations of enjoying fellowship with you. And they turned to their shame and abomination. They separated themselves unto it as they loved. Now, in Revelation chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, we find false teachers in the church. I think that we need to appreciate this. This is not something outside the church. This is something inside the church. This is what causes this doctrine to be very dangerous. And in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 19 and 20, he says, I know thy works and love and service and faith and patience and thy works, and the last is more than the first. In other words, they're doing more good works and more good works. And when you see love and service and faith and patience and more good works, you think of that as being really good. And it is good. But he says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against you. He says, I'm not opposed to this, but along with all these good things, that you are suffering a false teacher to seduce my servants. In other words, there was something going on in the church that they were allowing to happen. It says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest or allowest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to do what? Commit fornication. I don't think this is literal fornication. I don't think you have to teach that. You don't have to teach that, but you do teach spiritual fornication. Spiritual infidelity. That is taught. And of course, everybody recalls at the name of Jezebel. I don't think I've ever heard of a daughter being named Jezebel, or neither have I ever heard of a son being named Judas. The repugnant thing about Jezebel, she had no conscience. She was ruthless. If you've read anything about Jezebel and Ahab, in fact of the matter, when the dogs ate Jezebel, they wouldn't eat the hands nor her head. The wickedness that she had. Now, she called herself a prophetess, and she was teaching the Lord's servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. He was teaching them to go astray. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15 it says, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray following the way of Balaam. The doctrine of Balaam will teach you to forsake the right way. The doctrine of Balaam will cause you to go astray. And there are times in churches today where they let that happen. And we really don't want that to happen. We want people to continue in the right way and not to go astray. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 3 it says, your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor, For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. This is that 23,000 that was killed because of the sin of the children of Israel. What portion of Scripture can we use to help us to be separated? I think 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18 is a passage of Scripture that gives us some good counsel. Be not unequally yoked together with the unfaithful. The word unbeliever is not a good translation of the Greek word. Don't be unequally yoked together with those that are not of faith. Don't be unequally yoked together with someone who is not pleasing God. That's the point. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? If you're living by faith in pleasing God, you're living in righteousness. Or what communion hath light with darkness? If you're pleasing God, you're walking in the light as He is in the light, and having fellowship one with another. What concord or what harmony hath Christ with Belial, or someone who is a fool who says there is no God? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, or the unfaithful? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What has God said? I will dwell and walk and be and be. This is what God will do if we will separate ourselves. He says, I will walk in their midst, I will be their God, and they will be my people. So what is the next step? Verse 17, come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. What is the exhortation? Separation. Not fornication, but separation. And be ye separate. Come out from among them and be ye separate, and don't become defiled. What is the will of God? Our sanctification. Our separation. And He says, I will receive you. Now this does not have anything to do with salvation. This has to do with receiving them into positions of honor and glory in His coming kingdom. Verse 18. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. A real unique relationship will be established because of separation. Therefore, having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Filthiness of the flesh has to do with the works of the flesh and the sins of the flesh. And the filthiness of the spirit has to do with spiritual fornication. That is, leaving the right way, forsaking God, having idols in your life other than putting the Lord first. And we need to perfect holiness or separation in the fear of the Lord. It takes the fear of the Lord for this to happen. If you have no fear of the Lord, then you are not going to behave. Then there's nothing that you won't do. But when we have fear, then we behave. One other thing too that I thought was interesting here, I included Luke chapter 6, verse 22. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. There are times when you don't have to separate yourself from them. They will separate you from them. Blessed are ye if this happens. Our tendency is to try to gravitate toward them. And if they kick you out, that's a blessing. You should be kicking them out anyway. That's the point I was getting there. Now, Psalm 73, verse 24 through 28. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none on earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. May the Lord help us to draw nigh unto the Lord and not pull away and go a-whoring and commit spiritual fornication with other gods. And I'll tell you, you'll be blessed if you will. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for your counsel. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to not be drawn away from thee by the doctrine of Balaam. Help us, Lord, in these days of lawlessness to be faithful to you in following you, in obeying you, and trusting you. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we pray. Amen and amen.